You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who likes to dine and dash, Pete Chwaba.
Welcome back. Great to have you with me here tonight at Nightlight, folks, on a Thursday. We are running a rerun tomorrow. It's been kind of a crazy week here at Civic Media this week, but we'll have a rerun on tomorrow, and then we will be back live Monday night for your regularly scheduled program all next week, and then I will be in Madison the following week for part of the week. And right now, all right, so Johnny Beaner is my guest at the moment. He made the popcorn pick of the week. We're going to get back to Johnny in just a second here. Coming up at 7:35, Kurt Krause will be here. He's a local actor and producer. We'll talk about the new legislation that has passed and is official. Wisconsin will have a film office and filmmaking incentives for filmmakers, which I think is just great. Our question of the night is, you walk into a dive bar, what song is on the jukebox? And what else did we talk about that people might have missed, Conrad? Your Madison story?
Yeah, my Madison story.
Conrad dined and dashed. He didn't even know breakfast wasn't free at the concourse. I don't know how that happens, but he took off, and they got chased down and played. They didn't press charges, though, so that's good.
No, we paid. We paid.
Yeah, reluctantly. So you're caught up, folks. We're starting Act Two with our pal Johnny Beaner, who is here. His popcorn pick of the week was Superman from 1978, a great pick, and probably worth a rewatch. Christopher Reeve, what a great... did you ever see a movie called Mousetrap, John?
I did not see that.
He was in that with Michael Caine, and it was like, it was based on a play. The movie's very small. It's like on one or two locations, but he really was a great actor. In addition to doing a very good Superman, he was just a solid actor, too.
Was that before or after Superman?
That was after, I think that was a year or two after Superman, early 80s. And he holds his own with Michael Caine, and he's just really good. It's a tragedy what happened to him. He passed away, right?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Quite a while ago.
They did like a documentary of him called The Superman. It's all about him.
Yeah.
Over the break, I saw on social media, there was the Rotten Tomatoes scores of all the Superman movies.
Oh, nice.
And Superman 2 had the highest with 88%. Superman 1, 86%.
Okay.
And this one, I don't know how they have a score already because it's not out, but it has 85% for this new Superman.
Not only that, but for the new one, they have an audience score of 96%, which I guess they've screened it, but it's got over 2,500 people have already rated it.
So wow.
I don't know how that happens or if the fix is in or what, but I do remember really liking Superman 2 as well. The bad guys were really good in that. They were pretty freaky.
Nobody liked Superman 3. I loved Superman 3 with Richard Pryor. That one was great. And the computer, the guy that builds a supercomputer makes Richard Pryor build it. I thought that was fun. I mean, I probably like it because I saw it when I was, six. But it's actually a hilarious movie. It's very funny.
You kind of lost me when you said nobody likes Superman 3. I really liked it. Richard Pryor was in it. I was like, wait a minute, what? Even though I love Richard Pryor. So what? All right, before we let you go, John, are you binge watching anything at home? Are you and your wife, or just you late night?
I'm watching. You know what I'm watching? As she falls asleep, I'm putting in my earbuds and watching Squid Games.
How is that? I've never seen any of those.
I don't know. I don't know that I would I don't want my name on it as a recommendation, but I started watching it during, I think, COVID. The first season came out, or I had Carmen Morales as a comedian. She was staying at my place when she was working here, and she was watching it, so I got hooked onto it. Season one is really good, and then season two, three is kind of like the same story. Sometimes they split a story arc in the middle and call it two seasons. So I'm one episode away from finishing the whole thing, season three. And it's, it's good. It's fun.
I didn't know what to make of it. I couldn't. I thought it was a game show when it first came out.
I think they, you know what? I think they made a game show of it. Like a,
okay.
Yeah.
I have to watch it just to see what all the fuss is about.
It's a very dark dystopian.
Yeah.
Thing.
You don't want your name on it, but would you recommend it if you were like,
You know what? If me and you were at that bar with the hamburgers, I would recommend it to just you.
A mediocre hamburger with a mediocre TV show. All right, great stuff. So check out the podcast Cavalry, yes. Not Calvary.
Right.
And then were you able to think, like, I like when I have comics on, I love hearing great road stories because I've had so many of them and they're just so surreal sometimes. Have you had something like that happen?
I did. I thought of one. I promise I didn't make this up over the break.
Okay.
And this is old. Like, I don't have a lot of, you know, I couldn't go on for hours with weird road stories. But this one, I was very new. This is probably 20 years ago. I was in Omaha, and I was featuring for a comic that has since turned into a booker. Anyway, but he was a drinker, and we are walking. He's drunk, and we're walking to the condo from the club. And for some reason, there's these kids just hanging out on the street downtown Omaha, and he starts talking trash to them, and they start talking trash to him. And I'm like, well, what are we doing here? he takes their phone, hits their phone out of their hand. They start yelling at him. Oh, he grabs a beer bottle and smashes it on like a railing and grabs one of the kids. And I'm like freaking out. I'm like, I'm getting out of here. And then he pushes the kid away, he throws his jacket on my head. He's like, here, let's switch jackets and we'll meet at the condo. And he like throws his jacket on my head. Like that's our cover.
What's so that going to do?
I was like, cause they know what we look like. And so like, so if anything, I'm going to get in trouble because I'm wearing his jacket. It was the scariest. I was like, you know, I was a new comic. I was like, is this what it's oh like? What
gosh.
The hell?
That's a great story. And scary too.
Terrifying.
I hated it when I didn't know where I was in a bigger city. Like Omaha probably has some dicey area. I always liked Omaha a lot. I think it's kind of a really cool city. But I do remember, I don't know if it was the comedian Steve Segrin that told me this or Vince Moranto, but these two guys got the key to the condo and they went to the wrong spot. And they were trying to use the key to get in and it wasn't working. And some guy opens the door and the other guy starts to go in. Like this guy is there to greet them or something. And the guy goes, what the hell do you think you're doing? And he goes, it's okay. We're the comedians. Ah! This guy's like, well, I don't know anything about any comedians.
Oh my God. That's hilarious.
This is so great. Hey, this was fun, dude. Thank you so much. And it's great to talk to you. And I hope we get to have another burger soon somewhere.
Yeah, sounds good. Thank you so much for having me on. It's been fun.
Anytime, buddy. Johnny Beaner, check out his work. He's all over the internet. You can see his Dry Bar comedy special. You can follow him on Twitter at Johnny Comic. And check out his Letterman set from like, well, it was probably 2015. Very funny stuff and a very funny guy. You got a road story, Conrad? You kind of had one with Madison a little bit.
I don't.
Walking away.
Can I have a road story not being a comic?
Yeah. If you work, you know, if you're on the road, I mean, that's a road story, but comics just have them because they're on the road so much. Like the odds are better that something is going to happen. And
I wouldn't say I have a road story just yet.
Okay.
I'll work on the terrifying road story.
There you go. That was great. That sounded like he was going to get into a rumble, though. All right, let's get to the text line here. We've got our question of the night is you walk into a dive bar. We're piggybacking this on our Tuesday question, which was what are some elements that make up a great dive bar? And our question tonight is you walk into a dive bar. What is playing on the jukebox? So, Conrad, you're getting some love here tonight, bud.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is fantastic. Tom from New Berlin says Poison Ivy. Every rose has its thorn. That is a great one, Tom. And I admit, I actually kind of like that song. It was like this weird, like I didn't know they were a hair band when I first heard that song. I thought it was like an older tune.
You know, next time do a dive bar question related.
Yeah.
I'm going to catalog all these songs so we can just play them all night.
The other thing I want to do is I thought of this like a week ago, favorite rock ballad. Like, because some of them are so cheesy. Like, and some of the songs are just bad, but I heard this one like last week, like loving every minute of it, loving every minute of it. It's just like a cliche that they say over and over, like the worst song ever. Meredith from Madison, she's in the 608. She says, Thin Lizzy's The Boys Are Back in Town. This is so fun. This is a great question. Awesome. Thank you, Meredith. Our pal Chris Casper checks in and says, if it's near bar time, Paradise by the Dashboard Lights. P.S. I can't stand Meatloaf. The song should be banned from all jukeboxes. I kind of disagree with Chris a little bit. You know that song?
What?
Paradise by the Dashboard Lights.
Is that closing time?
Let me sleep on it, baby, baby. Let me sleep on it. It's a great song. It's by Meatloaf, and he's a clown, but it's just a, I don't know.
When I think of bars playing music, at the end of the night, they always do, you know, closing time.
I hate that song so
and
much.
And it just, every time, it's like, all right, we get it. We need to leave.
You know what? That song is so cliche. And part of the reason I hate that song is they say, you'll go to the places, you can't stay here. You have to go home to the places you will be from. It's just such a bad song. But here's another song that's kind of about a bar closing, and our pal James Runde wrote it, and it was called Sooner or Later the Night Has to End. And I loved that song. He played it when he was on the show on the
Yeah, yeah.
A great tune. And I think it's everything Closing Time wanted to be. Tom from New Berlin says, George Thorogood and the Destroyers, I drink alone or one bourbon, one scotch, and one beer. Tom's crushing it tonight. Thank you, buddy. Great one. Susan from McFarland says, hi, guys. Conrad, it's nice to have you back. I think
good to be back.
Yeah. She says, I think age has a lot to do with what would be on the jukebox for you if you walked in this dive bar. I think universally, Margaritaville by Jimmy Buffett, great tune, would probably be one of them. Take care, guys. Love the show. We love that you listen, Susan. That's a great text. Margaritaville, another great one. And Journey. Who said Journey? Is that Johnny?
Yeah, that was Johnny.
That was a great Journey's on every jukebox. Anna from Madison, she's in the 608, says, hi, Pete. Welcome back, Conrad.
Thank you.
My favorite song on a dive bar jukebox would be Brown Sugar. Yeah. Another one I like by the Stones for jukebox songs is Honky Tonk. Is it Honky Tonk Woman? Honky Tonk Blues? I don't even know what it's called. But you know the song I'm talking about. It's just great. And it's a great Stones tune. Love it. Susan sent a nice emoji with, what is that, a bunny rabbit with hearts?
Yeah, I think the bunny rabbit's wearing a tie as well.
Is that for you? Because you're back, Conrad?
Well, thank you if it is.
Either way, it's nice to get the love. Thank you, Susan. Barb from Waukesha, she's in the 262, says, Born to be Wild, Steppenwolf. Yes, that's a great dive bar jukebox song. Even maybe Born to Run, Springsteen. That's a great one. Tom from New Berlin again. Bob Seger. Was the lyrics you question? I don't know.
You're saying some lyrics. You're like, I forget what.
But Bob Seger lyrics?
Might have been.
Yeah. We'll figure it out, Tom. Thank you, buddy. We've got some more text too. We'll get to those after a very short break. And a fun clip. Should we do the Seinfeld clip? That was kind of a good one.
Yeah.
I like that one a lot. So, and then our pal Kurt Krause will be here at 7:35 talking film incentives. Be great to catch up with Kurt. He's an actor and producer based here in Northeast Wisconsin, and he is a very good friend of the show. That's all coming up soon. We'll be right back after a very short break. It's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back. I'm Pete Schwabba. This is Nightlight. That is a band I wanted to see at Summerfest. Did you go to that?
No, I didn't make it to any days, actually. God.
My son and a bunch of my friends went to that and said it was just absolutely amazing. And I've never seen the Killers live. I'm not a big concert guy, but they are definitely a band I would love to see live. Let's stick with the text. We got these are, I love the suggestions people are making. Our question of the night, folks, you can still get in on the fun, is you walk into a dive bar. What song is on the jukebox? It could be a song you're used to hearing, maybe a song you want to hear. It doesn't matter. But let us know what you think you'd hear on the jukebox. I'm having trouble here finding. Oh, there we go. Steve Conrad's dad checking in. It's about time. Where has Steve been all week?
Actually, he's in Wisconsin right now.
Nice.
We went out for lunch at Poke the Bear earlier.
He's in the hood?
Yeah. Well, back in Appleton by my brothers, but
you should have had him come in tonight.
Well, I actually gave him a tour of the studio.
Okay.
But you weren't here, so.
All right. All right, Steve. You're always welcome. If you want to do a pop-in, we'll put you on the air and we'll have a couple-minute interview and find out what kind of child Conrad was. Steve says, back in the day when the jukebox ruled the world, Temptation Eyes by the Grassroots. I don't think I know that song. I probably did. I probably hear it or know it if I heard it. Thank you, Steve. Great one. Christine from Slinger says, there's a tear in my beer. Stupid countries. That is such a lame tune. That's a great text. And look, stupid country songs can't hide behind the music. Like, they sound more stupid than stupid rock songs, because rock, you at least have that beat and the music to gloss over horrible lyrics. You don't really have that with country tunes. So I think they stand out a little more. And it just made me think of that when Christine said that. Jack from Merrimack says, going along with yesterday's comment that you can tell a dive bar by the chopped Harleys in front, the song, of course, would be Born to be Wild. Awesome, Jack. Fantastic. Thank you. Terry from Wausau says the song I'm Proud to Be an American, the Lee Greenwood tune. Yeah, that's on a lot of jukeboxes too. That's when people, like, if you're like in a country bar and that song is on and people have had a few drinks, they're tearing up when that song comes.
Yeah,
on, for sure. Ronnie from Horicon says, I walk into the dive bar and ZZ Top is playing on the jukebox. Outstanding. Excellent, Ronnie. All right, that's great. I think we're caught up.
You know, there's another one I would say, and it's AC/DC.
Oh, yeah, Back in Black?
Mm-hmm.
Or You Shook Me All Night Long? Those are all great. So, all right, so Kirk Krause will be here in just a few minutes, folks. It's going to be fun. There are film incentives in Wisconsin. I'm so excited about that. We'll bring Kurt on after the news, and we will have a discussion about filmmaking in Wisconsin. If you have a script, this is the time to make it, folks. We did not get to our movie talk. I've seen Jurassic World Rebirth, and I told you during the break.
Yeah.
It's not a great movie, but I liked it enough. Like,
yeah.
The CGI is so good now. It's in a different place than it was in 1993 when the first one came out. And the script is a little cheesy. I wouldn't say that. Like, David Koepp wrote it. He's a UW-Madison grad, and he's like the hottest writer in Hollywood, and he's a great writer. But there were a couple scenes I didn't think they needed. I thought they should have just stuck to the dinosaurs. And again, it's over 2 hours long.
So you saw it in theaters.
Yeah.
Is it a theater movie? Or
yeah.
Would you theater watch it in
way.
Theater?
Theater all the way. Because the dinosaurs, like I said, the CGI looks so good. And the dinosaurs, there are some really good jump scares. And my wife is, whenever a movie is on, something will happen. Like, she knows it's coming and she'll still say out loud, oh no. I'm like, stop.
Was the theater packed when you went?
Oh yeah. It was
packed. Oh nice.
It was a good movie.
It's always good to see the theater just packed for those movies.
Absolutely. So I recommend Jurassic World Rebirth. And I wanted to share with you, cause we talked about this on the air, White Lotus season 3.
Yeah.
You said there's a very disturbing scene between brothers.
Yeah. Yes.
And
there is.
I didn't mean to downplay. Like, look, it's a disturbing scene. I'm glad you told me that, because I was expecting much worse, knowing where the show White Lotus can go from time to time. It was disturbing. But the aftermath was kind of funny, because the brothers were like, oh, dude, you know. It was like Joey and Chandler's horrifying thing, like if they were going to have a threesome with a woman. It's sort of the same thing happened to White Lotus. So, I don't know. But again, I just think, I know a lot of people were kind of saying White Lotus season 3 isn't as good as the first two. I loved it. I like all their seasons.
What'd you think about John Grice in the in season three.
Funny you say that, because John and I swapped emails today.
Oh, nice.
And he, I'm trying to get him back on the show to come back and discuss his role on White Lotus season three. He's the only cast member, I think, who's been on all three seasons.
Yeah.
So hopefully we'll get a date nailed down with John. He was on the show last fall, I believe, before they did our Napoleon Dynamite screening at the Barrymore, and John was in town for that with John Hyder. So hopefully we'll get that figured out, but he's good. What I like so much about his character on White Lotus season three is I couldn't tell if he was behind Jennifer Coolidge's death in season two or just a lucky dude that inherited all this money. Was he plotting to kill her?
I think he was.
And they insinuate he was. But
and the one thing that was funny in that is that the proposal that his girlfriend, I believe, had to Patrick Schwarzenegger's character.
Yeah. Oh, right. She wanted to do it with him in front of, you know, John Grise's character, Gary, wanted her to do it with Patrick Schwarzenegger's character in front of John.
Yes.
And he was as pervy as Patrick Schwarzenegger was in the show. He was like really creeped out by that. I thought that was very funny.
Yeah. I mean, I was like, whoa.
We got to talk about Old Guard 2 at some point, and Jaws, the 50th anniversary is this summer. I watched that with my wife and kids over the weekend, and I don't remember the movie being as good as I thought it was. It was they jump right into it, and it's so good. And I just, I love Jaws. So we'll get to that at some point. The whole summer is the 50th anniversary. All right, folks. Our pal Kurt Krause will be here next talking about film incentives. This is going to put Wisconsin even more on the map than we already are with great movies being shot here in Wisconsin. That's coming up after this news break on the Civic Media Radio Network. And this club of mine keeps growing all the time, and you know it just ain't easy. Open up your heart, let's come together. Get up, Paul. I wanna drive them on. When you're feeling blue. Started singing. I catch myself though. Welcome back. This is Nightlight with Peach Baba, folks. Great to have you with me on the Civic Media Radio Network. We are jamming through a Thursday night show. Ronnie from Horicon says LaGrange. Is that a song? Sorry, Ronnie. I don't know that one.
I think that might be a band.
A band sounds more like a band name. It's a city in Illinois that I always thought sounded like the most. It's like a Chicago suburb. It's like LaGrange. It always sounded like a place I didn't want to live. I don't think anyone's listening from LaGrange. And if you are, you know what? I've had it with your nonsense. Rhonda from Madison says, Bad to the Bone. That's another great dive bar jukebox tune. Awesome stuff. All right. You can still get in on the fun, folks. If you want to let us know, you walk into a dive bar. What is playing on the jukebox? Right now, I'm excited to pivot here and talk to my friend Kurt Krause, who joins me in the studio here. This worked out nicely. Kurt is a local actor and producer, very busy guy. He works in commercials, he does films, he's all over the place. But tonight, he's in the Nightlight studio. Great to have you, buddy.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
So we've talked on this show, Kurt. I just want to jump right in. So much about the incentives and Action Wisconsin. Are you actually part of Action Wisconsin, or were your efforts separate but coinciding with theirs?
I was actually a very late add to Action Wisconsin. So everything we're enjoying right now, and again, this is big news.
Yeah.
This has been just years and years of this coalition working. And because of our mutual friend, Nathan Deming, talked about some of the efforts we were doing in Door County and introduced us to Jeffrey Kurz and brought us in on the coalition. And then we testified this spring before the state assembly all together. And it was magical. It felt like a Braveheart, like uniting the clans, because we knew of each other's names, or we'd seen the work of one another, but to all of a sudden all come together in the rotunda of the Capitol building and then go in together and talk about local impacts and tourist impacts and the human impact of all of this. It was a very special day in the assembly.
I really, without knowing too many details, I'm friends with all of you guys. Jeff's been on the show. Nathan's been on the show. You've been on the show. They were on the show together about 2 weeks ago, right before this went to an actual vote. And I had a good feeling about it just because I feel like who doesn't want their state showcased in movies, whether it's a big studio film or independent, or if they shoot TV here, it helps the state, right?
Absolutely. And it was beautiful. It was a bipartisan support. Yeah. It was in the governor's budget. It was also this bill that Representative Armstrong was backing as they were moving it through the assembly. So, and it was bipartisan then too. So it was like people really got this.
Yeah.
And I think everybody saw the impact. So it is possible for us to work together.
People to work together. Yep. Yeah. Well, congratulations and thank you for your efforts. I was talking at the beginning of the show about how I've had a project forever. I don't know if it'll ever go or not, but you keep these things moving forward. And now that Wisconsin is an option to actually shoot something, it really makes life good as a filmmaker. So what does this mean for filmmakers? How will this help them financially?
So as early as 2026, so just in this next year, it's going to be, to my understanding, 5 million that's out there annually that if the project's being done in state and they're using services that are within the state, the goal is to keep the money in the state and to be producing outcome within the state of Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And so they can get up to a 30% return.
A return? Is it cash back? Is it that kind of rebate? Because some states offer that and some states offer incentives for taxes and stuff like that. Do we know yet, or is that still being worked out?
Let me get back to you on that. Yeah, that's a very good question as to how that's back. I was initially thinking that it would be on the tax. We got some fans outside
There's
the
some
window
fans
here.
Outside wondering what's going on in here.
Oh, man.
Just two dudes with microphones talking.
Yeah.
Well, that's exciting. And is it a 30%?
I think it's 30%.
That's good. That's kind of aggressive, too. That if it's a rebate, I think that rivals Illinois and Minnesota, at least out in the lower part of Minnesota. So I think it makes Wisconsin really competitive. So I think I can't thank you enough for your efforts and those of Nathan and Jeff as well.
I was going to say, if our friends in film are listening tonight and if they have any additional details they want to throw out there, have them call in because... Yeah, these guys have been working tirelessly, and like I said, they've been doing the legwork for so long.
And we've got JB Thompson. Speaking of filmmakers, he's who I call the guy behind the guy, behind the guy. He says he's talking not about film incentives, but he says in a Gata DeVita, probably the best way to celebrate a dive bar. Yeah, because the song goes on forever, JB. So that's even worse. Thank you, buddy. And he's a guy who will benefit. You guys, Dan Davies has been on the show, and Craig Knitt and Ezekiel Drews. Like, does this make you? Are you close enough to going right into production on something where you can really capitalize on this? Because 2026, 5 months away at this point.
You know, we've been putting together a budget and a number of different avenues that we want to raise money for our feature film Amphibious. And now that this has happened, you know, I think we are going to look at how this could impact us and what routes we would go to, even if it means increasing the budget. Right now, it's a lofty goal of $300,000.
Okay.
I know when you did Godfather Green Bay, you guys were over a mil on that.
We were not. We started around three, and then we raised more money as we went on. And you know, it's funny, like that extra money you raise, it allowed us to shoot on super 16 millimeter film because we were going to have to do it digitally. And at the time, digital was not there yet. It looked like, I think it was called DV or something like that. And I was like, oh, man. So when we found some extra investors, we got closer to half a mil. And that really helped.
Nice.
So I wish you luck with Amphibious. 300, you should be able to do some good work for $300,000, I think, on an indie in Northeast Wisconsin, right?
Absolutely. And that still qualifies as micro budget on the SAG level. Now, again, with all of this out there, and again, not knowing what the future holds, you know, you could really swing for the fences and go on a bigger budget as well. Knowing now that we have some of these things that could really play to our favor. So I think we'll be looking at some numbers moving forward.
Yeah.
Because again, the ink has not dried on this thing. This is just days, you know, days
so
ago.
When you say 5 million has been allocated, first of all, that's nothing for a state budget. I mean, whatever, states have bills to pay and all that kind of stuff. But for what you get back, and I've always heard that when you spend a dollar in a community, of a film budget, $6 gets pumped into the local economy. And I don't know how accurate that is. That was a statistic I remember from years ago. But if this can help the economy, if you guys can generate, or we as a state can generate more projects, that really is going to help the economy and hopefully keep the incentives here longer. What happens when that $5 million is gone? Like, could one production come in from LA or New York and take the whole thing? Like, isn't that kind of what happened with Public Enemies?
So Public Enemies definitely got the bad rap for that.
Yeah.
And I believe they've learned from that. Okay. And I have things in place that doesn't happen. The specifics of that, I'd have to get back to you on.
But sure.
Again, any of the folks who've been working with, with the assembly, with our lobbyist, who's just been amazing. I know that they learned from a lot of those things from 2008.
Okay.
And again, Public Enemies, and going back to that local impact, to this day, we see what it does in the community of Oshkosh. One of my, good friends, Kevin McHugh, we just wrapped a film called Black Rose.
Yeah.
That was filmed at Venue 404 in Oshkosh, which is this amazing events venue for weddings, conferences, what have you. But that was the national bank that was robbed in the film Public Enemies.
In Public Enemies. Oh, that's so great.
Way back in 2008. And to this day, they've kept that, 1930s, 1940s vibe.
Yeah.
And you go in there and they've got the tin roof and you've got, almost floor to ceiling professional photographs from that production. You've still got the vault in the basement. And they have a full bar down there. And they've really, capitalized on this. And the return continues, and we're, come 2028.
17 years out, yeah.
So it's,
wow.
It's just incredible. And other places downtown too. To this day, they will still talk about, when Hollywood came to Oshkosh. And I shared with you earlier, it was actually a career launch for myself because the very second film I got involved in.
All right.
Yeah, as an actor and worked on second team was in Public Enemies. And so literally to have your second film be a Universal picture, never having left the Midwest at that
right.
point, was just wild.
You were probably like, and for those of you listening, Kirk Krause is my guest. He's a local Northeast Wisconsin-based actor and producer and a very busy guy. Let's tell people, when you were 18, you were an extra on my film, The Godfather of Green Bay. So you're getting chummy with Lauren Holly and Tony Goldwyn and Thomas Lennon, and then you go right to Public Enemies. You must have thought, oh my God, like Hollywood has come to the Midwest.
It was
18-year-old kid, yeah.
Yeah. So, I was probably 20, 21 or 22 when Public Enemies had come to Oshkosh. And yeah, so, to go right into my second film and be working with Johnny Depp and Michael Mann, and then a lot, Spencer Garrett was the actor I was standing in for.
Okay.
And all of them were just incredibly gracious.
So great. I love hearing stories like that. All right. So this also means that we have a film office in Wisconsin. We were only one of a dozen or 13 states that did not have a film office.
I think we were down to three. I think we were in the last three.
Oh, God, that's terrible. Yeah. So we're going to have a film office, which is great. Where will it be? Do we know? Madison, Milwaukee? Where do you think the film office will be?
This is just a projection. I would project it would be Madison.
Okay.
Because it will be a state film office. And so my thought is it would be tied into the legislature.
Right. What do you think the climate is here, Kurt? First for Wisconsin in general, for independent film, and then Northeast Wisconsin. Like you just mentioned Black Rose. You also have this other ambitious project, Amphibious. And tell us about that, because I remember the synopsis was so cool.
Yeah, Amphibious, it's meant to be this inspirational film, and target audience being high schoolers, but it really applies to everyone. And in Amphibious, you have a character who is transferred to a new school because when his secret comes out again and again, he gets bullied. Well, his secret is that he was born a syndactyly. He has webbed toes and webbed fingers. And he sees this thing as a curse and this thing that always isolates him. And when he comes into a caring school with a support staff that steps in, they help him see this thing as a gift. And he gets involved with the swim team and he starts making better and better time. And pretty soon he becomes the pseudo celebrity. And it's that very thing that he was hiding away for so long that was making him feel isolated.
Right.
That's now being celebrated. So he uses this whole pseudo celebrity status to lift up people around him because he knows what it's like being that other guy.
Is it based on a book or a true story or someone you know?
It's a story I wrote. It was inspired by a number of things, but a story I wrote originally. It went to a writing competition. It was a finalist, and I'm like, okay, people like the story. Let's write it as a feature film. And we've got a really just amazing team coming together to work on it.
That's fantastic. All right, we'll have a couple more minutes with Kurt Kraus after this very short break. We have I want to ask you about film festivals coming up and what you're watching. You always have a good binge watch suggestion, right? Or am I thinking of someone?
Hopefully I do. Yeah.
Kurt Kraus is here. We're coming right back on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. I am Pete Schwabe. Happy to be broadcasting from a beautiful downtown Green Bay statewide on this gorgeous summer evening. My guest is Kurt Kraus. We have a few more minutes with Kurt. He is a local filmmaker and actor. What do you tell people? Like, I get this a lot. You must get it too, because you've been in a lot of independent films in Wisconsin. You're tied into the community. Someone comes to you and says, hey, I've got this great idea for a short. It's 10 minutes long. What do I do? What's the first thing you say to them?
Well, short films are great because you can get a lot of momentum and turn out the project fairly quick. Typically, I'd say, you know, pass the script around to people you trust and get feedback. And if it's your first film, it might be tough to get feedback. Constructive criticism can still hurt. I know that as well as anyone.
Yeah,
and I think over the years, you kind of just build layers of skin.
For sure.
Usually shopping it out and just kind of getting a feel. If the story sounds interesting enough and they want me to consider producing it, you know, and again, if I really like the story, then I start to read through it and see, okay, logistically, what does this look like location wise?
Can you do budgets?
I can, but there's a lot better people than myself to do
it's
budgets.
It's intimidating.
I can. It's, you know, that's a lot of heartburn for this guy, but other people just like thrive in that realm.
That's great. And it all starts with the script, right? I mean, you got to have a good script. Otherwise, I mean, I've always said, like, you can't, even if you're a great director, if you have a bunch of crap on paper, you don't really have anything to direct. And actors, too, they need good material. So it all starts with the script. What are some festivals? Let's talk about film festivals locally that you could refer people to. If people haven't had the film festival experience, where would you tell them to go?
Right off the bat, I got to say the Door County Film Festival.
And disclaimer, you're involved in that. That's great. Yeah.
Just it's a festival near and dear to my heart. You know, we've been we're approaching the big 20. You know, and that's big for a festival to get to the 20.
What do you mean the big
20 years?
That film festival has been here for 20 years.
Well, we're getting there. I think this is the 17th.
Whoa!
Year coming up.
I didn't know that. Okay.
17th or 18th? It's Chris Opper would know, obviously.
Yeah. But he's been on the show. Chris is great.
Chris is amazing.
What a great setting for a film festival, too, Door County.
It's fantastic.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Over at the Gold Theater. It's always Valentine's Day weekend. We're actually still accepting submissions through Halloween, so October 31st. You can still get your film in, and the judging panel will review and make the decisions.
And share that website again, because I forgot about that website where you can go and get all kinds of information on local film festivals and national film festivals.
So Film Freeway, so filmfreeway.com is really, when you're looking to submit a project, you can in your search engine, you can look at locations, you can look at themes of a festival, and you know, they can be here in the U.S., they can be global, and yeah, it's a wealth of info right there, just for, you know, there for the
typing. Yeah. Bear with me. I'm going to get through the rest of our text here. Then I want to ask you what you can recommend binge watching. And it can't be something you're in. Our question of the night, folks, I'll read these final few texts here, is you walk into a dive bar. What song is on the jukebox? Ronnie from Horican says ZZ Top. Did I read that? Or was he clarifying? Because LaGrange.
Yes, yeah, that LaGrange is a song.
Is a song by yep. ZZ Top. Yep. Okay. Thank you, Ronnie, for clarifying that. TJ from Oshkosh, Instability of the Props Fund. I need you to go over that text.
Well,
he
has a follow-up right under the video.
Under the video. On the text line?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
If you want, I can read it.
Hey, Pete and Conrad, yeah. Go ahead. You read that one because I haven't
Yeah, he says, hey, Pete and Conrad, I've been meaning to share with y'all a local queer-led independent production that some of my Oshkosh area friends are working on, a TV show called Instability. The script has already won multiple awards, and episode one will be premiering at the Time Theater on November 16th.
Get out of here.
They're looking for some help with props to be able to continue filming past episode one. And he also shared a link to the Kickstarter.
That's fantastic. So it's not done, or is it? It's done? The first episode will premiere?
Yes.
Okay.
He says that, you know, they're looking for some
TJ
help, yeah.
Yeah, send us your contact info, TJ. Let's see if we can talk to TJ about that. That sounds like a really cool project. I was just overwhelmed because I saw the picture and then I saw all these words and I'm like, oh my God, I can't. Thank you, TJ, for the text. And let's talk. Anna from Madison says, Pete LaGrange is a song by ZZ Top. See, the nightlight, the couch potatoes are on it, man. Tony the Trucker says, Pete, Jerry, Jeff Walker's Why Don't We Get Drunk and Screw? After all, isn't that the reason people are there anyway? Yes, Tony the Trucker. And as a trucker, I'm just guessing he's been in a share of dive bars. Thank you, buddy. Steady Eddie and the 608 says, Pete, looking for love in all the wrong places. Sung by Johnny Lee, 1980. I think that was the last year I was in a dive bar. Oh, that's a shame, Steady Eddie. He says, I must admit, I do miss that dirty bar of soap. Why don't we get drunk and screw? That's a great song. I forgot all about that. Thank you, Steady Eddie. Folks, on Monday, we've got a great show. We have a rerun tomorrow night. We'll be back live all week live next week. And we'll have on Monday night, On Stage for Cancer will be here in the studio. The Piats and one of their children will be here singing. It's going to be amazing. Kim can't be here, but they are so much fun to have in the studio. And then our pal Rob Thomas will be on to talk about the summer blockbusters and all kinds of fun stuff. Rob is a Madison-based film and TV critic, so that'll be Monday night. And Kurt, so what are you watching? What can you recommend? We got about a minute left.
So this is going to be old news for everyone else, but I have to finish the final season of Better Call Saul.
There's so much content out there. Don't ever feel, you know, like you can't watch everything. I just finished White Lotus season 3. I started a show called Line of Duty that came out in 2012. So that's how it is, right? Did you like it?
I feel better now.
Yeah.
Love Better Call Saul.
Okay.
And I was so into it, like a lot of other folks, that when you were waiting on the next season, you would rewatch
every
season to just get as much of the story as you could get. And after that, The Wire has been recommended to me.
Oh, fantastic. I've watched that whole series twice. Nice. You really have to pay attention, but it is outstanding. Maybe the best TV show ever. A lot of critics say that.
My brother was talking it up today, so I'm like, okay, well, that's going to be the next
one. Yeah. Check it out. Kirk Krause, ladies and gentlemen, thank you, buddy. Thanks for being on the show tonight, and congrats again on the film incentives. That's excellent. And my thanks to Johnny Beener and all your texts and calls. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll see you Monday on behalf of the lovable producer, Conrad. Good night, Wisconsin.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.